I'm here with Joseph. He was one of the tenants that was evicted yesterday. What's your name?
My name is Joseph Kluss. I live here at Lincoln Place.
And can you tell me what happened yesterday to you?
Well, about 10 o'clock, I was getting ready to go to a business meeting, put on my shirt and tie, and there's a knock, a very firm knock on the door, and about 6 to 8 officers, sheriff's deputies entered my apartment and told me I had to get out immediately. I thought I had 15 minutes, which is what our lawyer had told us, and they go, no, you got about 2, grab what you need, keys, medicine, and you're out of here. They did not manhandle me. I heard that they had made one guy who stepped out of the shower stand there naked as they were videotaping him and wouldn't let him go into another room to put on his clothes. They followed every step I made, and to the point I was bumping into them was a comedy of errors, just trying to, you know, get my shaving kit from one room, my briefcase from another room, and after they locked me out, I realized I didn't have any underwear for the next day, and everything I needed to do business with was locked in behind me.
Did you have any opportunity to go back in and get some of your possessions?
Finally, today I did. I was about half moved. I had started packing up a couple of weeks ago, but over Thanksgiving weekend I had a what looked like cardiac attack, so they took me to the emergency room. I lost a weekend there. When they finally let me out, nothing was wrong. I'm fine, you know, but I just had lost some time packing. Today they let me in for the first time for 2-hour slots. They're allowing people 2-hour slots a day. With a guard watching over you, though, pretty much the whole time. The maintenance men are pretty nice. As a matter of fact, one guy came up to me and said, I'm sorry, it's my job. But I did get to clean out stuff. I wasn't able to clean, not like I really planned on it. So just kind of throwing stuff into boxes, you know, breaking down the computer, trying to get what was valuable out, and hopefully they'll let me back in tomorrow.
Okay. So what are your plans now? What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I have no idea. That's the question of the century. I'm living out of my car. I've got a buddy who's putting me up on his couch for this week. I don't know where I'll be next week. I've got a suitcase with some clothes in it, at least a change of underwear. I've been looking around at other apartments, and for something comparable that I have, which is a 2-bedroom with garage, 900 square feet, I cannot find anything comparable for double that price in rent. So I'm not quite too sure what's going to happen, if I want to stay in the West LA area.
Are you part of the class action suit that people are trying to put together?
I'm unfamiliar with the class action suit. I know that I'm involved with the individual suits that Elena Pop is putting together against AIMCO.
I see. And do you have any plans to try to get back into your place, or are you just resigned to going somewhere else?
It's the best apartment I've ever lived in, just because the design is really unique, the garden style apartments. I think those of us who are leaving or have left didn't realize what a great deal we had and what beautiful apartments are compared to what else is out there. I lost track of what your question was.
Oh, well, I'm just wondering if you're going to try to... I've heard that...
I'd like to get back into the apartment. I would really like to see it as a tenant ownership kind of relationship. I don't know if that's going to work or not. You know, right now I'm just up in the air like everybody else.
Right. Well, I'm sorry that they kicked you out in the street in such a fashion around the holidays, but I hope things work out for you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, okay. It kind of hurts, but it kind of hurts to be out on the holidays. But the thing is that if the mayor doesn't choose to act, it could happen to anybody at any time, anywhere in LA. It's just negligence.
What can people do who want to try to help you and the others who've been evicted?
Oh, great question. You could show up here, you know, in numbers. Every night the crowd is getting bigger and bigger. If you'd like to show your support, there's people who drop by and bring us gingerbread and coffee and water and meals and cookies. And it's just really kind of neat to meet the community, see the community solidarity. You could send a letter to the editor of LA Times, or if you want to go even bigger than that, think 60 Minutes, drop them a letter, give them a phone call, call the mayor's office, call the attorney general's office, who doesn't want to act on the code or enforce it either. Matter of fact, wants to overturn the code that the courts had already ruled on. So send in letters, let the media know that the public wants to see a public hearing on this, and not big money negotiations with developers from out of state behind closed doors.
And where is this that you meet? Where are we here?
We are at the corner of Frederick and California, which is right near the Ross Dress for Less and Ralph's on Lincoln Boulevard in Venice.
Okay. Yeah, I see. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for talking with me. Appreciate it.
So I'm here with the attorney that represents the tenants that have been evicted, and your name is?
Elena Popp, P-O-P-P. I'm with the Eviction Defense Network, a nonprofit that represents tenants in housing matters.
And what is the current legal status for the tenants?
Well, it depends on which tenant you're talking about. There are 170 people here. Approximately 24 plus 50 plus 48, approximately 75 people have judgments against them already, and 52 of them were evicted yesterday, and others are slated to be evicted probably within the next week and a half. Tomorrow we are going to the Court of Appeals to ask that the decision be reconsidered. We're going on a special writ. It's our belief that the Court of Appeals has already determined that the conditions that the developer agreed to, which included no tenant displacement in order to be able to build 850 units here, are enforceable. And so we're hoping that the Court of Appeals will reverse the trial court.
Now, I've heard some people claim that the evictions that happened yesterday were unlawful. Can you comment on that?
I would say that the more appropriate word is that they were unjust. And it is our position that the trial court rulings are incorrect. And I think that that's why people say they're unlawful. What we have here is a situation where a developer came into our town and said to the city council, we know we can only legally build 795 condos here, but let us build 1,008. And if you do that, we won't displace any of the tenants. The city council said, we'll let you build 850 if you don't displace any of the tenants. The developer said, okay. Then other people opposed it, and there was all kinds of litigation, and it gets very, very complicated. But at the end of all of that, the developer pretty much had an agreement signed that says that they're going to build 850 and not displace any of the tenants. In spite of that agreement, they filed eviction actions in July, and it is our position that the agreement between the developer and the city, which is called the Vesting Tentative Track Map, but it's basically just an agreement, that is fully enforceable, and it prohibits these evictions. It was hard to get the courts, the trial courts in the UD cases, in the eviction cases, to understand that, probably because they're just not used to dealing with complicated land use issues. The developer argued that the tract map or the agreement is not enforceable because they never recorded it with the county. But in July of this very year, the Court of Appeals ruled that the conditions of approval are enforceable in this very tract map. And what we need to do is get back in front of that court and get them to say, hey, and by that we also mean you can't evict the tenants. That case was about the destruction of buildings before all the historic preservation conditions were done. This case is about the eviction of tenants. So it's a little bit different, but we're confident that that if the track map is enforceable, then all the conditions should be enforceable.
What's your name?
My name is David Bush. I'm an activist with the Lincoln Place Tenants Community Support Coalition.
And what brings you out here tonight?
Well, we're part of the community groups, including LA Answer and the International Action Center and the Los Angeles Coalition in Hunger and Homelessness and the Santa Monica-based peace group Millennium Democracy that recognizes what's going on here. We're standing at the foot of the apartheid wall in Los Angeles. It's the apartheid between the rich and the poor, and they've just moved that wall. They've just moved that boundaries to cover the largest affordable housing project that was ever built in Los Angeles, Lincoln Place. They've evicted over 400 of the once 800 tenants here who were living in some of the most affordable housing in Los Angeles. They're down to 170 tenants, and yesterday, in 2 minutes' notice, they evicted 52 more, and we said that enough is enough. LA is rising up, and we're saying, low-income tenants, we have rights, and it's time we have to stand up for them. The city attorney, Rocky Delgadillo, is on the take. He's one of the biggest recipients of slumlord money in Los Angeles, and the Los Angeles Times even is covering that, as are all politicians who are getting the vast majority of their money from the rich and from landlords. And they're refusing to enforce the law. And so we, the people, are taking it into our hands 24/7 from here on out until the people take back Lincoln Place. We want to, and it goes along with the folks at the South Central Farmers. It goes along with people paying huge rents in San Jose and Santa Monica, people who are being evicted as well.
So what kind of actions are you taking here tonight and maybe in the coming days and months to get some justice here?
Number one, our action is a 24/7 street presence. Justice comes from the streets. It's been that way since the Boston Tea Party. It's been that way since the Civil Rights Movement. And legal actions alone, calling on politicians alone is not enough. We have to put our bodies on the line. And we're putting our bodies on the line right here at the corner of Lincoln and Frederick, California Street and Frederick Street, just three blocks south of the corner of Venice Boulevard and Lincoln Boulevard, to show the community there's a presence. And even the corporate media is amazed by this. They've been out here every hour on the hour. We're now the biggest story in L.A. The eyes of Los Angeles are on us. The eyes of the world should be on us. There's 400 habitable apartments right now in Lincoln Place that Katrina refugees in the biggest natural disaster in this century could be living in right now. There's no city official that's calling for that. There's no community. We're the community group that's leading and saying, let's give some Katrina refugees here a home, and let's give it to them before the holidays. Let's give these 52 residents here back their homes, and let's take back Lincoln Place for affordable housing and stop this gentrification.
Now, I've heard some reports that the people who are organizing to help support the South Central Farmers and some of the farmers themselves have been practicing civil disobedience in case bulldozers show up at their farm. Is there any kind of action like that planned to defend these people's homes?
There is absolutely planned actions for us to stand up and defend our rights under the Constitution and under the International Treaty on Universal Declaration of Human Rights. This is civil obedience. This is upholding human rights over property rights, which is the fundamental rights in the Human Declaration of Human Rights, which is the law of America. And we are nonviolent. This is nonviolence. This is people nonviolently rescuing their personal possessions from their broken down apartments. This is people nonviolently standing before bulldozers. This is people nonviolently sticking out their hand and telling them as they nail shut people's windows and doors, if you are going to drive that nail, you're going to have to drive it through my hand first.
It's pretty strong words.
That's what it takes. Let's not kid ourselves. We're in the biggest fascist takeover on the planet today, and it's of the most powerful, most violent military empire in the history of humanity. It's about to dominate space with lasers, dominate the world from space. They're terrorizing the rest of the planet. We're 5% of the planet, sucking up 45% of everything made on Earth. You have to add up every other military on Earth to equal the United States military power in dollar terms. And it's going to be, this is the pivotal generation. And we need to take a stand, and it's going to start in the streets, and it's nonviolence, and it's based on human rights. And come on out here. The vigil is 24/7 until we take Lincoln Place back. Join with us. Join with South Central Farmers. Bring your media. Bring your video cameras. Bring your blankets. Bring your food. Bring your music. And start the festival here.
Thank you very much.